Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Sad times go long, bad times. We are rid of you at last. Howdy, gay times, cloudy gray times. You are now a thing.
Tom Harmon here, just keep on listening. The great Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand, I know that she had planned on, hoped to sing that at the inauguration or after the victory of either John Kerry or Al Gore. I forget which one. I think it might have been John Kerry. And so I just, in tribute to Barack Obama's extraordinary accomplishment last night and Barbara Streisand's extraordinary accomplishment of her life, I wanted to open the show with that. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom in the American way. Tom Hartman here with you, and wow, what a night. I got an email this morning from Patricia Viejas, who my travel agent down in Lima, Peru, who helped put that trip together. And I want to, first of all, before our American callers start calling in, because we're going to take a lot of calls today, Bernie Sanders is going to drop by in our second hour, and Mark Thompson is going to be here in a few minutes. But I would like to invite our international callers. And if you're calling from inside the United States, hold off for a few minutes, please. Just pause for 5 or 10 minutes and don't call in if you're calling from inside the United States, because I'd love to hear from people outside the United States. And our telephone number, 866-303-2270. Most people internationally can call an 866 number, 866-303-2270. And Lauren or Chris, do you happen to know what that what the 212 number is that drops in on? You're not sure. Okay, but the 866 number should work. 866-303-2270. If you're calling from outside the United States, give us a shout. We'd love to hear your thoughts. This is the note that I got from Patricia. The woman who put together this trip to Lima, Peru. She says, congratulations for the election of Obama as President of the United States of America. We're very happy for that. You know that all your country does has a worldwide impact. This is a big change for you. I will pray that he will be the same person, Barack Obama, of course, and that he will run your country very wisely. I think the world has seen the kind of campaign that was run by Barack Obama, and the world is saying, you know, this guy, I mean, it's just all around the world. People are saying, you know, this guy could work. This guy could make it. This is the guy that could bring this country together. And it is an extraordinary day. I remember so vividly 4 years ago this day on this radio show doing suicide counseling and feeling it myself. I mean, just the intense despair. It was just extraordinary. So 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And first, I'd like to pick up some of our out-of-the-United-States callers. So if you're in the United States, I'll be picking up your calls at the bottom of the hour, and we'll carry them through the next 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Vaughn in Nova Scotia, Canada. Hey, Vaughn, your thoughts on our election here in the United States?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Very well, thank you.
Listen to you every day. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
First time I called in.
So what are your thoughts on the election of Barack Obama, and what do you think that Nova Scotians and Canadians are so? What are they saying today?
It's incredible. I mean, I think the first, we just went through an election ourselves, as you know, and I think there was more people here in Canada knew more about the U.S. election than the policies and everything than they did about Canada. I know I followed it every day, and I think he's an incredible person. Like, he inspires people, and, you know, listening to the radio this morning, a lot of people were talking about the issue that it's the first black president, and yes, that's a great accomplishment, but I think he's so much more than that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he changed politics, you know, running a good campaign and not being dirty and just being a good all-around person and inspiring so many people. I think he just changed the world.
I absolutely agree. Vaughn, thank you so much for the call from Nova Scotia. Appreciate it. Jackie in Switzerland. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Just great. How is Switzerland?
I am so excited. I haven't slept. I stayed up the whole night and watched. I'm proud, finally, of our country again.
Uh-huh.
And
so you're an American expat. You're an American expat living in Switzerland, I assume.
Right. And I have not met one person here who was for McCain and Palin. So I can kind of show my face again, not to be embarrassed about our politics. I'm hoping that Barack can pull it through for us. I have some confidence in him. I just thought he was so courageous.
Yes.
And it's such a deeply profound moment in our history.
I think it is absolutely extraordinary. Jackie, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks, thanks for everything you do.
You're welcome, and thanks for listening to the show there in Switzerland. Guy in England, in the United Kingdom. Hey, Guy, welcome.
Hello there. Yeah, I love your show. It's great. I listen to it quite a lot.
Thank you, Guy.
Yesterday, with the election, stayed up late, and that was fantastic. And absolutely, you know, delighted. First person I saw was someone living in my house. She's some French Senegalese, and we embraced. It was lovely.
That's marvelous. That is marvelous. So the, you know, it's midday now in the UK, right?
No, it's the evening now. It's just gone
dark.
Evening.
So yeah, so you know, any you know, how are people in the streets? Is there any kind of you know, celebration?
Well, I haven't actually been out, to be honest, today.
Okay.
I've been in all day. I've been nursing a hangover.
Great. All righty. Guy, thank you so much. Great. I appreciate the call. I got to move along.
Well, once again, I love your show. It's brilliant.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you for listening to us there in the UK. Gene in Manchester in the United Kingdom. Hey, Gene.
Hi, it's Jean, not Gene.
Oh, Jean. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Hello, Jean.
J-E-A-N.
Yes. And welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you.
How is Manchester, UK, Manchester, England, responding to the election of Barack Obama?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a big thing. I'm originally from the Democratic Republic of Congo. I've been living here for 10 years. It's not just, the whole new, everybody's happy, and we didn't sleep. Mm. We were waiting. I got to sleep 5 o'clock this morning.
Oh,
and, you know, just waiting for the outcome. I mean, it's really, I would like to congratulate all the American people for really deciding on this change that we all need. You know, everything that happens in the USA has an impact on the rest of the world, especially my country where I come from.
Yes.
In the so-called Democratic Republic of Congo, where there's a lot of trouble at the moment, and the hope of people, they have family back over there, and people are celebrating in the Congo as well. Their feeling is that once Barack Obama comes into power, things are going to change in the Congo and everywhere else.
And the Congo is experiencing the Democratic Republic of Congo is experiencing a very, very difficult time now. 4 million people, I think, so far killed in that war over the years.
Yes.
Jean, thank you so much for the call. I've got to move along, but I truly appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling in and for listening to the show. Dan in London. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Just great. Your thoughts on the election?
Up till 4. You know, actually, it was up to 6 in the morning over here, just watching. I couldn't believe it, but just so excited. And I really felt that I was that I wanted to be back in the States for this. You know, it was kind of felt kind of lonely over here. But today I went up to pick up some milk up at the store, and you know, little delicatessen type thing, and it's all over the newspapers, and the people inside were so thrilled.
That's great.
And all around London since about August, I've been seeing Obama shirts left and right. So I don't know if they're, you know, UK residents or just visiting, but it's a pretty good vibe over here.
That is great to hear. Dan, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. We've got calls on the board from Kenya, from Honduras, from Saskatchewan, from Montreal, from London. We will be picking up more of your calls. Plus, Mark Thompson's going to drop by and say hi. We'll pick up a couple of calls with Mark, and then we'll be getting to calls from the United States. I just wanted to hear what the rest of the world had to say as well. 16 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The President of the United States, Tom Hartman, here with you. We've been taking international calls all morning from all over the world. And Mark Thompson, by the way, a talk show host on Sirius Satellite Radio. I've been on his show a number of times. I was on with him last night. Mark, first of all, I just want to welcome you to the show. Mark,
thank you.
Hey,
thank you. Thank you for having me, man.
Great to have you with us.
Here,
and I'd like to get into a conversation with you about what happened. But first, I want to pick up a couple of calls. Will you take some calls with me?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Here we have James calling from Kenya. Hey, James, you're on the air with Tom and Mark Thompson.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Very good. How is Kenya responding to the election of Barack Obama?
Oh, Kenya is great. It's actually been declared a national holiday tomorrow.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so we're so proud. I'm so proud a black man has finally made it. I've been reading about the civil rights and everything, and it's about time. It's about time. I'm so happy.
So how is it being handled in the city? What part of Kenya are you in?
Nairobi.
Nairobi, okay.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh. But everyone is all happy and drinking, celebrating, singing.
That's
so
great.
It's a good time.
That's great. I was in Nairobi in March. It's a beautiful city. Thank you very much, James. Appreciate
well,
your call.
Well, I like
Mark,
the show.
Thank
That's
you, Mark.
That's something. That's
yeah.
something. That really is something.
It is. It really
and
is.
I'm still pretty much speechless even to, you know, to hear that and hear people call in from Kenya. I mean, this is not just a United States election. I mean, this was a world event.
Yeah.
And it's gonna, you know, America is still, for whatever reason, I know time, people like you and I are here to hold things accountable, but, America is still by many considered to be the greatest country in the world. And, to get that kind of call from Kenya, to know the inspiration that this is to Africans throughout the world, the diaspora, other people of color, and really just internationally and in the European countries even. This is really something.
We had three calls from the UK. We've had nothing but I asked for international calls this morning, and I've got on the board right now calls from Honduras, from Canada, from Puerto Rico, from Germany.
Wow.
And we will be picking up those calls as we continue. Mark, very quickly though, you told me a story last night, and I'd like to kind of bookend this because I have a story from 30 years ago. You have a story from yesterday, and I think that they are perfect bookends. My story from 30 years ago was when I was a young man, the girl who lived next door to us, who was about my age, wanted to marry an African-American man. She was white. Her father, and I may have told you this story, I don't know. Her father not only disowned, you know, wouldn't even go to the wedding. My father told her that he would walk her down the aisle and did. And
wow.
That family next door lived next door to us for another 5 or 6 years and never again spoke to our family. That was 30 years ago. That was the state of race relations 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you had an experience with your son.
Yeah. My son is 6, and I took him in the voting booth with me, and he walked in with me. We got our paper ballot, and we, in Washington, D.C., we used the we connect the line. It's a straight line. You connect an arrow, I should say. And I gave him the pencil, and I stood over him, told him what to connect. And, of course, he didn't have to ask about Barack Obama. That's the first time he'd done that. My son at six voted with me for the first time for the first African-American president. And it just the sense of meaning that has. Your experience 30 years ago, this one, all this has been about, and all racism and race relations was about, was whether or not African-Americans and, by extension, other people of color are human beings. That's the crux of it. Whether we were three-fifths human or whether we were full human beings, even in the Constitution. And what happened on yesterday now pretty much erases any notion that people who look like me or my son, people of color, are less than human. People like you, Tom, who've never practiced racism, whether or not you're human, all of us are human now. We, you know, imagining what your family must have gone through during that period, we know what that was like. But America took an enormous leap forward last night. Of course, there are things that still need to be done. It's so institutionalized. You know, this generation, even younger than us, doesn't feel it or see it as much. But there are remnants of it, vestiges of it that still exist that we really take for granted. And now what has to happen, people like you and me, as exhilarating as this moment is, must remind people that there are still some who are left behind. There's still some who are holding the fort, waiting on us to arrive to liberate them. Once we do that, we'll be home free.
Yeah, not just all over the world, but here in the United States as well, Mark Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah,
it really is true. We have about a half a minute here. Mark Thompson, your hours on Sirius Satellite Radio?
5 to 8 Eastern, Sirius Left 146.
There you go, Sirius Left 140. We're on the air right now, as a matter of fact. And final thoughts on the election, Mark?
Well, you know, now it's the beginning of a new era. We'll see what happens. I think we're going to see, as creative and innovative as this campaign was, I think we'll see that much creativity and innovation in a new government. It's going to be exciting. We'll probably have to put on, guys like you and I have to put on a different pair of glasses to analyze it now, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that our work has not ended today. It has begun.
No. Tom, I respect you. We need you, man. You keep up the good work, too, okay?
You too, Mark. Mark Thompson from Sirius Satellite Radio. Thank you, Mark.
Take care, kid, buddy.
Bye-bye. Great talking with you. 27 minutes past the hour. We'll be picking up your phone calls right on the other side of this break. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. TomHartmann.com if you want to drop into our live chat.
You're listening to the Tom Hartmann Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartmann Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. Go to Teamster.org for more information. Sue in the chat room, which is really filling up. You get there over at TomHartmann.com. You can see our live streaming free video over at AirAmerica.com. Anyhow, our chat room, she's got a new graphic in there of fireworks going off. It's great. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, taking calls from all around the world. Brad in Mainz, Germany. Hey, Brad, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Mainz, Germany.
Mainz, Germany, I'm sorry.
I stayed up last night to watch it on CNN and woke up about 4 o'clock and thought, well, they had a commercial. I'd just look and see. Three German stations, Erste Deutsche Fernsehen, Zweite and West German, West Deutsche Rundfunk, all of them are carrying the election live in the middle of the, I mean, it's like 3:30 or 4 in the morning.
That's crazy.
And Bush was here. He visited Schroeder here back, oh, I don't know, a couple, two, 3 years ago before Angela Merkel came in. And they literally shut down the town of Mainz, including even moving a lady out of her apartment who was 200 meters or so from where Bush was going to be because she had an anti-Bush sticker or something on her door, made the papers here. And people from Mainz, you know, all the businesses had to shut down. And basically my son and I walked down there, and there was nobody down to see him. And I think, boy, if there's one thing Obama could do right now, or as soon as possible, for he's got to get a transition team in there and get all the embedded politicals that get embedded down in the government, down in the agency levels out. I'm an ex-government employee, and that's mistake Clinton made.
He won't be able to start doing that legally until after January 21st, but
you've
got to get ready.
When the Republicans used to come in, they are almost on the very next day, the people that were there got letters, and within a month, they had people sitting in the positions, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Well, the Democrats never did that. But,
essentially shadow
the Germans
governments.
Are happy.
Good.
And I've been congratulated all over town. As if, you know, geez, you know, I mean, as if I had something to do with it. Okay. And I just, you know.
Well, good on you, Brad. Brad, I got to move along, but thanks so much for the call from Mainz,
Germany. Okay, Tom, ich wünsche dir einen schönen Abend noch, gell?
Vielen Dank, und Ihnen auch. Wilbert in Honduras. Hey, Wilbert, what's up?
Oh, hi, Tom. How you doing today?
Great, great. How is Honduras responding to the election of
Man, you know, I could tell you right now, you know, there is no word to describe, you know, these people here, my family and, you know, several families from this little town where I'm from. You know, fireworks and all the stuff because, you know, we feel that, you know, after 30 years, you know, since we got in this bad situation in little countries like Honduras, we finally feel like we're gonna have a break, you know. And I'm telling you, when things go bad, and you know, in the States, my people starve, you know. And you should know better than me, you know, because you're a smart man. And you know, I really appreciate the job that you do. I've been listening to you for quite a long time. And I want to tell you that you, my school, you know, even my my English, I got better, you know, and I have no words and no money, you know, to pay you, you know, for all the things that you do. And congratulations for
thank you, Wilbert.
Obama.
What city in Honduras do you live in?
I'm from the north coast of Honduras, you know, by the Atlantic.
By the Atlantic, okay. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Wilbert. I've got to move along. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. And you too, Wilbert. Great to hear from you. Robert in Puerto Rico. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi. Thrilled beyond words. Most of the people I know are just ecstatic. Of course, we had our own elections here that didn't have anything to do with the U.S., so there was a lot of activity having to do with those elections. And for reasons that are very local to Puerto Rico, having to do with the incumbent who had some charges of corruption, the conservative won, unfortunately. But I don't think that reflects the general consensus about Obama. But the people I know are thrilled beyond words. One thing I wanted to share with you is my perception of my from a personal point of view of what this means to young people, because I have a 15-year-old son, and I've been politically involved or talking about politics with him all our life. And for the last 8 years, the most mature years of his life, the only America he has known has been this America that performed torture, had all these inhumane things going on. It was just an awful America. And this morning when he left, you know, he walked out and said, the first thing he said to me just before he left for school was, you know, maybe there's hope for America after all. Maybe, you know, the Americans aren't so stupid as I thought they were. So, you know, it's a great day, and I just can't tell you how thrilled everybody I know is.
Great. Robert, thank you so much for the report from Puerto Rico. We're great to hear from you. Meryl in La Huaca, Mexico? Meryl?
La Huaca.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling.
Well, I want to thank you. You're a great educator, and you should be required listening for all Americans every morning.
Thank you. How is Mexico responding to this election?
Well, I'm in a small village. I'm getting feedback here. Let me try to change this. Okay, are you still there?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm in a small village outside of Oaxaca called Teotihuacan. And I can't stop crying, so excuse me.
That's okay.
People here are waving little American flags. It's incredible. Everybody is so happy. We're weeping together. We're laughing together. We're celebrating together. I was in Grant Park 40 years ago under very different circumstances. And I watched last night the faces of all those people. And everybody was crying and hugging and celebrating. And I believe that I have carried this pain in my heart for 40 years, and it is finally released. And it's a collective pain that has been felt all over the world. And we are looking at such an incredible transitional moment. It's a change of consciousness, and we can release the pain that we've been feeling and move forward as a total people. But we have to support Obama, and this is the thing that is so necessary, is that now we've got someone who has a vision that embodies the hope and the belief of what America can be, and we've got to support this man because the challenge that he faces is so daunting. But yep. We can all celebrate, and now, finally after 9/11, we are all Americans again. So.
Yeah, well, as the famous headline of Le Monde. Meryl, thank you so much for calling, and thank you so much for listening to us in La Huaca, Mexico.
Oaxaca, and I'm looking forward to coming home.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call. Great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Liam in Dublin, Ireland. Hey, Liam, thank you for calling.
How you doing, Tom? Well, Tom, the world is a safer place today.
Yes.
It really is. Yep. It really is. And I just want to say a few things about in the early part of our country, we had people called Quislings. They sold out their own to the English. Sean Hannity is a Quisling. He sold out Americans to corporate America, and he's an absolute disgrace. And that's our other idiot, Bill O'Reilly. What a jackass he is. I'm so thrilled. You couldn't believe how happy I am and everybody around me. You have a great day. And, Tom, I'm a big fan. Thank God for guys like you.
Well, thank you, Liam. And to put a fine point on it, we beat Bill O'Reilly in the Los Angeles ratings almost 2-1. And Hannity, you know, yeah, you're right. He just got a $200 million contract. He does the bidding of corporate America. But I think Americans are waking up to that, and they're moving in the right direction. Liam, thanks so much for listening to us in Dublin, Ireland. Thanks for the call.
This is a great day. Thank you.
Great to hear from you, Kent in Paris, France. Hey, Kent, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's amazing being an American living overseas, especially for the past 7 years, and feeling in the space of 24 hours the difference. It's like a weight coming off. Maybe that's just internal and it's just me, but people are in the streets. I live in a very heavily African immigrant populated area, and these guys, a lot of them aren't even French. They literally are from Ivory Coast or whatnot, wearing Obama shirts for the past week, yelling Obama in the street. It's been going all day.
Really?
Yeah, chanting, so Obama, Obama. It just breaks out spontaneously, and then it calms down, and it happens again, and they have, I don't even know where they get these things, but, you know, like Obama's little ski caps and stocking caps and shirts and Obama 2008, and it's fantastic. And Paris kind of went a little crazy last night. There were big events, Americans meeting, and I agree with, you know, what that previous the female caller just a couple calls back said. It's just amazing, and it really feels like America is going to be able to be that beacon on the hill again in the eyes of Americans, hopefully, and in the foreign relations.
So well said. Ken, thanks so much for listening to us there in Paris, France, and thanks for the call. And yes, we're all Americans now, and we're all citizens of the world. Maybe that's a better way to say it, because we're all humans here. We're all alive. We're all part of the same game. And now we need to work toward enhancing the quality of life all over the world.
Watch live video of the Tom Hartman Program at HartmanRadio.com.
May have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. And to those Americans whose support I have yet to earn, I may not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voices. I need your help, and I will be your president too.
There you go. Carol in Brussels, Belgium. Thank you for calling, Carol.
It's good to talk to you. You're a wonderful beacon for all of us who are overseas, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Carol. I'm beginning to think not only are we the number one progressive talk show host or talk show in America, but we must be the number one internationally. We're getting nothing, but it's wonderful. So, Carol, how is Belgium responding to the election of Barack Obama?
Just as you are hearing from the other countries in Europe, it is amazing that they give much more time here to the election, to this election, than I've ever seen them give to a Belgian election. You see, they've caught, the European Union has kind of caught the corporatist flu.
Right.
And they are beginning to privatize and to talk about,
ever since Thatcher.
And it's a good idea now that perhaps Obama can give a different image, and they'll catch that one too.
That's marvelous. Carol, thanks so much for calling and for listening to us in Brussels, Belgium.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Sue from Milton Keynes, England. Sue, who runs our chat room. You can drop in and say hi. Hey, Sue.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations, America.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Milton Keynes is would you call it a suburb of London? I've been there.
No, it's a brand new town. It's separate. But it's about 60 miles away from London.
60 miles, okay. It's hard to remember. It's been a few years since I've been there. But in any case, so how is the UK? What are you seeing in UK media, Sue?
Well, everyone seems pretty excited. It's like a big weight off of the world's shoulders.
Yeah.
It's not just for African Americans. It's also about relationships around the world, you know, with Bush being so it's our way or the highway.
Yeah, there's almost.
We feel we can carry on with life again.
Yep, like Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sue, thanks so much for the call, and thank you very much, and thanks for the great work you're doing in our chat room. If you want to drop
you're
in
welcome.
And say hi. Sue runs the show there. She has her daily stack every day on our website at tomhartman.com. She compiles what's going on in the show. Sue, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you. Jan in Saskatchewan, Canada. Hey, Jan.
Well, my wife is in Saskatchewan. She's American. I'm Canadian. I'm a long hauler. I'm in Missouri at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was dog tired last night. I could barely stay awake, but I would not stop listening to your guest, Mr. Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
My wife was in tears. I would call her every 15 minutes with results, and we would discuss them. We were both in tears. We moved to Canada. We've been married 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, I came to her home in Iowa, and I was informed she was ashamed to be an American anymore.
Hmm.
We moved to Canada. Last night, when I told her it was the game was up, the power of one had come through with shining colors, and she said, you know, I'm holding my head high.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
Both of us in tears, even still, what it means to your country and to the planet is just absolutely beyond measure.
Yeah.
And your work and the work of your compatriots has been absolutely invaluable to teach the public. I never refer to you by name, always as the professor. I have done everything I could by talking to people, everything I legally could with money to see this day happen. I am absolutely overjoyed, not just, as I say, for your country, but for the planet.
Thank you so much,
Jim. Without this, we stood next to no chance.
Yeah, I share your feelings. Jan, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Arson in Armenia. Arson, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. It's a victory!
It's a victory! Yeah, I got it, Arson. So the Armenians like this too, eh?
Yes, yes, Tom. Thank you for your education for everyone around the world. I mean, you inspire everybody. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, we have a new hope, new change. And, you know, it gives me lot of hope. You know, you won't believe how inspired I am.
Yeah, well, that's great. Arson, thank you so much for the call from Armenia, and thank you for listening to us. It is much appreciated. Yurik in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Hey, Yurik.
Hey, Tom. Let me tell you a story, man. I hope you can understand me. I was not born in the United States.
Uh-huh.
I was born in St. Lucia. I joined the United States military. I went to the Persian Gulf War, not being an American citizen. Mm-hmm. I heard Reagan talk about freedom, justice, and all those stuff. It made me so happy, you know, that people could have those ideals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, I felt like, you know, I've been to war, I guess. I perform post-traumatic stress and stuff, so I don't go out. And I felt all those ideals were lost. You know, I was questioning about myself and humanity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to finally see, you know, that Barack Obama won, it kind of gave me hope again, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know how happy I am just to hear that. I think I'm kind of like inspired right now, you know,
yeah.
To see that change. And at least humans are not actually as bad as I actually think we are. We
yes.
can be, rather.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I had to say, man.
Well, thank you so much, Yurik.
Yeah,
I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to us in the U.S. Virgin Islands there. David in Copenhagen, Denmark. David, we have just a half a minute before we've got to wrap up the hour. Quick comment?
Okay, well, we had about 300 people, Tom, and when they broke the news there on CNN, oh, man, it was just wonderful. It was marvelous.
And
we had some Danish politicians. The American ambassador was there. He was a Republican, but he sent us some nice words, too. It was a great night, and we are so happy.
That's great. So the Danes are celebrating, too.
The Danes are celebrating. We did it for everybody. You know, I'm chair of Democrats Abroad Denmark here, but we did it for everybody, not just the Americans.
That's great. David, it's great to hear from you. It was wonderful meeting you back in March. Thanks so much for the call. Coming up next, Senator Bernie Sanders.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the second hour of our program. Boy, what a day. What a day. I wanted to get Senator Bernie Sanders' take on this. Of course, Bernie will be here day after tomorrow on Friday for a full hour, our regular brunch with Bernie. But, Bernie, welcome to the show.
To be with you, Tom.
Bernie, in the last hour, I got to tell you what we just did. This is just incredible. In the last hour, and I had no idea how it would work, right? So this is like playing without a tightrope. In the last hour, I asked my U.S. callers not to call the show, put out the phone number, and said, if you're listening to us outside the United States, please call. Our line was slammed. We took calls from the Democratic Republic of Congo, from Kenya, from Honduras, from Mexico, from Denmark, several calls from the U.K., from Armenia, from Paris, France, from several calls from Canada, from the U.S. Virgin Islands, from Ireland, and from Puerto Rico. And there were still, you know, there were still calls to go when we wrapped up the hour. And what everybody is reporting all around the world is that people are literally celebrating in some of these countries fireworks. This woman called from this little village in Mexico sobbing, saying, mm-hmm. that, you know, America is back.
Yep. Well, I think for so many reasons, Tom, yesterday was an extraordinary day. And I think Obama said it best. It shows the vitality of our democracy, the potential of who we can become. His victory, from a racial perspective, means that we have overcome one of the great stigmas that we've had to deal with since slavery. But it's not only a victory for African Americans. What it means now is that young people really all over our country can, in fact, understand that they can do anything, that there are no reasons why they can't achieve in whatever form. And I think even more important for the whole nation, if a guy like Barack Obama, who when he was born, there were people in the United States who could not vote because of their color. If this person can become president of the United States, what can we not do as a nation?
Yep. When he was born, there were people who could not marry because of their color.
That's right. That's right. So it's just, in that sense, it was an extraordinary day. And the other thing is, don't lose sight of the fact that Barack Obama ran certainly one of the very best campaigns in American history, the best campaign that I have ever seen in my life. And by that, I mean, it's not just he was smart and did the right things. He did it the right way, which means he understood that to win, he needed a huge amount of grassroots activism. So he won not by a small turnout. He won by a huge turnout. He won by having millions of people contributing to his campaign, maybe $5 and maybe $50. And he won because on Election Day, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people were on the phones. They were knocking on doors. In other words, he did it the very, very old-fashioned way, through people power. And what that's about is not only say, my, what a wonderful campaign he ran, which ended yesterday. Most importantly, that is a lesson that we have got to carry over to today and into the future, which means that when people stand together and they're willing to be involved in the political process and they understand the promise of democracy, they can take on the lobbyists. We can take on the big money interests. And in fact, we can move America in a very different direction. So I think, from top to bottom, I'm especially proud, a little chauvinistic here, of my own state, which gave Obama 67% of the vote. I want people to know that he won with over 60% of the vote in rural areas, almost, you know, all white conservative areas.
Yes. But areas the board George Bush carried very heavily in 2004.
So I think the message has gone out all over, and the tone. The other thing to comment on is the different tones of the two campaigns, of the very great deal of ugliness that we saw from McCain's campaign, actually calling a fellow senator somebody who, quote-unquote, works with terrorists. Mm-hmm. And there was Obama going above that, you know, hitting McCain when he had to, but in fact trying to focus on the real issues facing our country. And people rejected the politics of fear and that negative nonsense that permeated McCain's campaign. So you add it all together, what a fantastic day it was for American democracy and for our future. And again, I want to reiterate that I hope everybody understands, who had all of those people, and many listening, I'm sure, who were so actively involved in Obama's campaign, don't think the job is over. Don't think your efforts should not continue. If you think that the insurance companies are going to allow us to have a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people, and they're simply going to say, oh, well, you know, we're giving up on this, you are terribly mistaken. And it's the same thing with ExxonMobil and the big oil companies. They're going to fight us tooth and nail to prevent us moving forward in terms of energy efficiency and sustainable energy. It's the same thing with the military-industrial complex, with the financial institutions. These people have enormous power. And what Obama understood from his campaign from day one, and it was very, very bold and really quite brilliant, what he said, the only way I'm going to win this thing is really to involve huge numbers of people, young people, people of color, people who have not been involved in the political process before. He did it, and he won. And that lesson has got to stay with us from now and into the future, because the people who will oppose us as we try to change America are very, very powerful. Now, we got more votes in the Senate. We got more votes in the House. We got Barack Obama in the White House. But if you think change is going to come easily, you've got another guest coming. It ain't. So we have to continue to go forward. But obviously, this is a fantastic day for America and I just want to congratulate all of those people, and I'm sure that many, many thousands of your listeners, Tom, were involved in this campaign for a job. Very well done.
Yeah, amen. It seems to me, Bernie, we're talking with Senator Bernie Sanders, who will be back with us for the full hour. The first hour is our regular Brunch with Bernie segment on Friday, and taking your calls then. It seems to me, Bernie, that we are witnessing the end of two wars. As an American, it seems to me like we have finally ended the Civil War, literally. And we had a caller, I believe, from the UK. It might have been the caller that we had from Belgium, who said words to the effect of, we have seen this right-wing economic, basically, war on the middle class. It started with Margaret Thatcher in Europe, and it seems that that war is coming to an end as well.
Absolutely. I mean, what we don't want to forget about, I mean, while a lot of the media will focus on the fact that we have just elected our first African-American, and that is very, very important. Equally important, or perhaps even more important, is the fact that the crisis that we face is an economic crisis. It's a class crisis. That under Bush, and certainly before him, but under Bush, what we have seen is a massive redistribution of wealth from the middle class to the upper, not only 1%, even 0.1%, where we now have by far the most unequal distribution of wealth and income of any major country, and that has certainly accelerated under Bush. And to what I hope we can do as a people, you know, I was listening to the radio this morning as I was driving into work, and they're already worried about who's going to be running in 2012 and all that crap. Forget about it. I mean, forget the polls, forget all that stuff. What we need to do as a nation is have a very serious conversation about the problems facing our country, not about personalities, but the problems and the solutions. And that's not easy stuff, and honest people will have differences of opinion. But that is part of the revolution that we have got to pursue right now. Serious discussion, serious ideas on serious problems. And then what we have to do is, once we formulate a position, we have to go forward in the Congress and pass that as soon as possible. One of the areas that I will be working very hard on, Tom, I think we've got a lot of momentum. We've got a lot of wind behind our sails right now. And I think we have got to just move very, very quickly when Congress reconvenes after Obama is elected to make sure that the American people understand that this election really is going to make a difference in their lives.
Yeah. Bernie, we just have about a half a minute. I'm curious if you think that even though there's not 60 Democratic votes in the House and Senate, that given the results of the election, that Susan Collins, George Voinovich,
Olympia Snowe,
might they step back and say that they're not going to participate in filibusters and allow something to get done in the Senate?
I think that that is a real possibility. And I think, again, though, to make that happen, we're going to need the participation and the knowledge and the activism of people at the grassroots level to make clear to the Congress and to the people who have been obstructionists in the past that that is not acceptable. We've got to move this country in a new direction. But to answer your question, I think absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very, very hopeful thing. That's very hopeful. Senator Bernie Sanders, sanders.senate.gov, his website, check it out. Bernie, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Okay, Tom. Take care.
Thanks so much for dropping by. 16 minutes past the hour, it's the Tom Hartman Program. Back with your calls on your thoughts on the elections. We'll take calls from the United States now. And after hearing from Kenya and Belgium and Ireland and Armenia and Denmark and Mexico, stick around. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
To be created, new schools to build, and threats to meet, alliances to repair. The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in 1 term, but America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight, that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there.
There you go. 22 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And our full Monty alert.
You better take off your coat. Real slow.
Well, apparently she did it. So that would be Sarah Palin.
Baby, take off your shoes. I'll take your shoes.
Steve Schmidt and Mark Salter from her campaign showed up at her hotel room.
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes.
I am reading from Newsweek.
You can't leave your hat on.
I don't think she even left her hat on. So after a minute, Palin sailed into the room wearing nothing but a towel with another on her wet hair. She told him to chat with her laconic husband, Todd. I'll be just a minute, she said. Apparently, she thought it was the swimsuit competition. By the way, Newsweek is also reporting that her shopping spree was apparently well over $150,000, that a number of her aides, she was actually directing the purchasing, and that she had been told to buy four outfits and three suits and a stylist. Instead, she began buying clothes for herself, for her family. This is from Newsweek. Clothes and accessories from Saks and Neiman Marcus. And even asking campaign ads to put it on their private credit cards. The campaign just learned about this yesterday when some of the aides came forward and said they would like reimbursement in the tens of thousands of dollars. One aide reporting $40,000 put on his credit card for Sarah Palin's clothes. This is in addition to the $150,000. This woman has gone around the corner, around the bend, around the corner, out of sight. And it's going to be very interesting to see if she decides to run for Ted Stevens' seat. Dave in Ontario, Canada. Hey, Dave, thanks for calling the show. What's on your mind today?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air, Dave.
Oh, great. I just had a few things to say. I'm a Canadian living in Canada. I'm not an American expat. And my take on the Obama victory is a little bit different than some of your other callers.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a great victory. It's a terrific thing. But it's only the beginning. It's
yes.
only a point from which the country can begin to heal.
It is so true.
Without a serious investigations of the malfeasance that's occurred and the war crimes that have gone on under the Bush administration, the United States will never, ever fully make itself back into the international community. Now, obviously, we should all be giddy about the advances that have been made, but on the other hand, it should be recognized that this is only a place from which we can begin to expose the criminal conspiracies, because, as you know, sunlight is still the best disinfectant.
Yep. George Bush this morning looked like he was hungover. I mean, his face was all bright red. He looked like he was... I think that these guys...
I'd like to see him looking like he was just hung, period.
Well, God forbid, Dave. But,
I believe the proper term is hanged.
Yeah, let us... And thanks for the call. Let us not wish death on anybody, but prosecution, absolutely. And I think a lot of these guys are very, very worried. Karl Rove has to be right at the top of the list. Very worried that they are looking at serious jail time now. And they're going to do everything they can to deflect their attention from that. Judy in Brighton, Michigan. Hey, Judy, welcome to the show.
Hello, Tom. First-time caller.
Well, thank you.
A woman from Michigan in my mid-60s voted for Barack Obama. My relatives live in Slovenia, a tiny country in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be part of Yugoslavia.
Yep.
Became independent in 93, joined the European Union in the January of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I visited them for the first time in June, met over 120 relatives.
Mm-hmm.
To a T, they were all very concerned about our election. They said they loved me because I was their relative, but they were concerned about our administration. Asked me to email them as soon as I knew the results.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and my inbox was just full this morning.
From Slovenia.
From Slovenia, yes.
That is great. So your
Barack
relatives...
Obama represents hope for the whole world.
Yeah.
And not to use this pun, but This is what my relatives say. He's the right person for the right time. And I agree with Bernie Sanders that our work is just begun.
Yes.
And we cannot rest. This is just the beginning. But he does represent hope to the whole world. And as my relatives in Slovenia say, what happens to America affects the whole world. We are all one. And I never really realized it. Yeah. Until my first time visit to Europe.
Yeah, no, it is so true. I mean, in Japan, they have an old saying that when America catches a cold, Japan gets pneumonia.
Exactly. I wanted to ask them questions about my heritage, and all they wanted to do was talk about America, and they know everything that's going on, and instantaneously.
No, you're absolutely right. Judy, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, I do a lot of international traveling and have for 40 years, and it astounds me how Amerocentric the rest of the world is. 28 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. No suck-up interviews. This is real talk radio. I got to tell you, all around the world, it's amazing. The Guardian. Barack Obama tonight was on course for victory over John McCain. Der Spiegel, historischer Triumph for Barack Obama, der Demokrat, der Führer. On it goes. In Italy, in the Mappa Electorale, Garda, in Baracca Stravinci, I can't do Italian, I'm terrible, from Obama, Japan, Obama Town in Japan, ecstatic for namesake, and this from Pravda. Honest to God, this is the actual story in the Russian newspaper Pravda. I'll just read it straight. And you can make up your own mind. Only Satan would have been worse than the Bush regime. Therefore, it could be argued that the new administration in the USA could never be worse than the one which divorced the hearts and minds of Americans from their brothers in the international community, which appalled the rest of the world with shock and awe topics, which included concentration camps, torture, mass murder, and utter disrespect for international law. Yet in choosing Obama, the people of America have opted to come back into the international fold. Welcome back, friends. Yeah, hey. Not said in the way most other countries are saying it, but, you know, actually, I'm not sure I can find anything in there with which I disagree. Nadezh in Long Island, New York, if I'm pronouncing your name right.
Yes, it's Nadezh. How are you, Tom?
I am well. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. I think the weight of last night really hit me this morning, and I'm just so emotional. I was listening to another talk show this morning on the radio, and they happened to play the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King, and I mean, it was almost prophetic. I mean, this man had the speech so long ago, and to see last night, you know, black people, white people, you know, Jews, Gentiles, just everybody just coming together, it was really very emotional for me. And even now, just talking about it, I just get chills. And, you know, listening and watching the international, these other countries, I mean, it is, I am in awe right now. I mean, I can't begin to express what I'm feeling, but I do agree with what your last two callers did say. This is not over. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. In many ways, Barack Obama is an international Rorschach test. We are all projecting upon him our greatest hopes. And now the work begins of making sure that not just he, and you know, not just that we push him in directions which are progressive and will save the world literally, but also all the other legislators, and that we begin putting the lie to the conservative memes that have ruled the world, basically, certainly the Western world, since Thatcher and Reagan. And Nadesh, I've got to move along, but thanks so much for the call. It's much appreciated. Thank you. Patrick in Minnesota. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how are you doing, Tom?
Just great. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to mention I'm kind of a first-time listener. I'm a Republican from Minnesota. I hope that's okay.
That's quite all right. We have a lot of Republicans on the show. What are your thoughts about the election?
I get you through Sirius, so I enjoy listening to you and then some of the Patriot and just kind of mix it up a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, and if it's a talking point with some of your listeners, just to kind of get a different point of view. When I hear a lot of the callers calling in, you know, for me personally, I feel just as inspired, just as proud, just as much opportunity exists for me today and tomorrow as there did a month ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. You know, I'm 31 years old, so the last 8 years have been kind of my prime of my life, leaving school and bettering myself, whatever. And I guess when the callers call in and what they're talking about, I guess I'm really curious why it seems like now that Obama has been elected, that it's almost like now I'm able to go do something. I'm able to kind of grasp on and look on to something. Cause even I've heard a few people call in and when, you know, they talk about how great it is that, you know, even like you and Bernie Sanders were talking about with the first black president, all that stuff, you know, why does it seem to be kind of based on the beliefs of somebody? With why wasn't there the same look up for Condoleezza Rice as the first black woman in a cabinet post?
I think it's not about race, Patrick. It's really not about race. I think for many people around the world, that's a symbol, that's symbolic. But the reality here is that the ideology which has been driving the right wing in the United States since Reagan came to power has really achieved a pinnacle in the Bush administration, doing things like, and let me just give you a quick and short list here, creating a secret propaganda campaign to manufacture a false case for war, which has led to the death, by the way, of as many as 1 million people and 4.5 million refugees. Lives destroyed, literally destroyed, falsely, systematically, and with criminal intent, conflating the attacks of 9/11 with Saddam Hussein, who had nothing to do with them, misleading the American people and members of Congress about what Iraq was doing, illegally misspending funds to begin a secret war of aggression against Iraq, invading them in violation of the Resolution 114, absent a formal declaration of war, falsifying accounts of U.S. troop deaths and injuries, not providing our troops with body armor and vehicle armor, establishing permanent U.S. military bases in Iraq in defiance of international law. Just a variety, outing a CIA officer, providing immunity for prosecution from criminal contractors, creating secret laws, violating the Posse Comitatus Act, in fact, ultimately even repealing it, spying on Americans without a court order before 9/11. Announcing the intent to violate laws, you know, failing to comply with congressional subpoenas and instructing their employees not to, tampering with elections, violating the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And there are 35 articles of impeachment that Dennis Kucinich put forward. I just read you a few of them, just a fragmentary few. These guys are criminals. And I think the broad sense in the United States, and privatizing everything, including our vote, The broad sense in the United States is that, you know, thank God we've got somebody who apparently has some serious integrity here in a position of as president of the United States.
Are you there?
I am. Your turn.
Oh, okay. But I guess one of the things that I'm curious about with that is just, you know, there's three branches of government here. And if you look at who's really in control of power, and I understand you know people may have different views of what interpretations of you know those number of things that you talked about there, but I guess I'm looking at this more as you know the U.S. as a whole within what goes on in our cities. If I look at individual cities and you know you can break it down just looking at Pennsylvania, and then you can look at cities like Philadelphia, cities like Pittsburgh.
And even when Obama talks a lot about higher education costs and things like that, the people who have been in control of those cities and those institutions have been Democratic-type people. And I don't necessarily see the change or being pushed through the inner cities, or I don't see the change being pushed through to colleges to actually lower costs and to make college more affordable. But I just see it seems like, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say Bush was the didn't do, you know, those things you're talking about, but it seems like he was a scapegoat for a lot of stuff that the Democratic Party is in control of and can take action on, versus just simply, you know, kind of like the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, where you're isolating your opposition and basically blaming them for everything.
Well, the bottom line, Patrick, is if you look at the so-called red states, many of them, like Alaska, for example, for every dollar that they send to Washington, D.C., they get back two. In fact, the vast majority of all the red states are getting back more than a buck and a half for every dollar that they're sending out. The vast majority of blue states are getting less than 70 cents for every dollar that they're sending out, and in particular our cities. And this, again, is you know, 26 years, 28 years of Reaganomics is the consequence of this, is what we're seeing.
If you wanted
to name a city, I'd say look at your own Twin Cities. If you're from Minnesota, you know, here you've got a bridge that fell down because you've got a governor who's bragging about the fact that he's slashing the budget for infrastructure.
But Tom, that's exactly what I'm talking about here.
Well, and on top of that, you've got in all these cities that you're mentioning, Patrick, you've got
for 40 years, but all of a sudden the bridge that was built in 1970 collapses, and it's blamed on the governor.
Right, because he's not maintaining it. What we have in our cities, we have a disaster in our cities, actually, all across the United States, Patrick, and it's because the 26 years of Reaganomics now has outsourced so many of our jobs that our cities that used to be vibrant, vital sources, manufacturing centers, essentially, all over the United States, they're gone. I mean, those jobs are gone, and the consequence of that is the destruction of the American economy. It's the destruction of our cities.
Why are they leaving?
They are leaving because we changed our trade policies. We did away with tariffs. Very simply. From the founding of this country, 1791, it was when we first put into place significant tariffs, over 30% in the United States, and they stayed at that level until the 1980s when Ronald Reagan came into office. For 200 years in the United States, we said if it takes a dollar's worth of labor to make a pair of shoes in Minnesota, and you can make those shoes in China for 20 cents, you're going to pay an 80-cent tax when they hit the border. Or a 50 cents in Mexico, you'll pay a 50 cent tax. Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush did away with those tariffs, and that's why those jobs are gone.
Watch live video of the Tom Hartman Program at HartmanRadio.com.
Sweet dreams today, 51 minutes past the hour, the Tom Hartman Radio Program brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our show, supporting your radio station, and our advertisers. Let them all know you're listening, please. Welcome back. Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, on the line with us. Victoria, where are you?
I'm currently in the offices of the Talk Radio News Service.
In Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C., I am. And there's word from within the Obama campaign, I don't know if you've heard this, that they may be looking at Senator John Kerry to be Secretary of State.
That would be a brilliant choice.
That's the word. And the New York Star Ledger is reporting that Governor John Corzine, is a possible candidate for Treasury Secretary. But then there's another concurrent story that the Obama camp is actually looking for a key economic official currently involved in fixing the financial crisis to be Treasury Secretary.
Yeah, Corzine was a former CEO of Goldman Sachs, if I'm remembering correctly.
Right, exactly. So there are two stories about that, right?
Yeah, so we'd go from Robert Rubin, who was the Treasury Secretary in the Clinton administration, who was a former chairman of Goldman Sachs, to Ben Bernanke, or not to Ben Bernanke, to Paulson right now, who's a former chairman of Goldman Sachs, to Corzine, a former chair. Seems a little Goldman Sachs-ish.
Goldman Sachs-ish is the word for it, yes.
Yeah, a little odd. Are the stories that I'm hearing about Rahm Emanuel being
Emanuel, that seems to be, if not in the bag, but that is a very strong expectation that Obama could name Rahm Emanuel to be his chief of staff. That seems to be the move. The other story is that people are expecting him to move very quickly to fill his cabinet, that this is something he wants to do. He wants to show that he is ready to move. He doesn't want there to be a gap. He wants to give the impression and a strong impression that he's ready to move and to capitalize on the sense of unity.
Well, Mr. Clinton, President Clinton took Mr. Cohen as his Secretary of Defense, a Republican. And I've heard rumors that Richard Lugar, the Republican, is in the running, as it were, for that in the Obama cabinet. Have you heard that?
The only rumor I heard was that he was in the running for Secretary of State, but then I heard this one of it being Kerry. So, no, the possibility that I hear is that Robert Gates would keep the job as Defense Secretary.
I see. Interesting.
But it's pretty early for that. Now, the other thing that he's got to do and that he looks to be doing quickly is to fill the jobs of other members of his inner circle in the West Wing, and that he wants to do that fairly fast, and that he will do it rather than bringing a whole bunch of people who have absolutely no experience of Washington in from Chicago, which is something that previous presidents have tended to do, and then these are people who not only don't know the ways of Washington, but who then rub everybody else the wrong way, that he won't do that, that he will be using Washington people, that he may use former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle as well as Rahm Emanuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom Daschle's a good guy. And Rahm Emanuel, I disagree with many of his politics, particularly his economic worldview, but as chief of staff, his job is to take names and kick butt, you know, to get things done, and he certainly is good at that.
He certainly is good at that, he's extraordinarily good at that in the House, and, of course, he worked with President Bill Clinton as well.
Yeah, interesting. I heard John Podesta's name being floated around also, who had done that for Bill Clinton, but I think Rahm Emanuel would, frankly, be a good choice. What are you hearing about the economic advisors? There are basically two factions within the Democratic Party and among Obama's economic advisors, and we've talked with both on this program. Some are the Robert Rubin school, the Chicago school guys, the Clinton, Reagan, Thatcher, free trade, no tariffs, you know, blah de blah. The Chicago school guys. And then there are the Keynesians, basically, the folks who are saying, you know, we learned how to do it right during the Great Depression. John Maynard Keynes taught us well. We had a good, strong economy until Ronald Reagan got into office. Arguably, Jimmy Carter started some deregulation efforts in the late 70s that didn't help a whole lot. But in any case, the Keynesians versus the Friedmanism, or the Friedmanzians, I guess you'd... Any knowledge of that?
No, not yet. I haven't heard anything so far in terms of who's gonna reign supreme, who's gonna take precedence, which route he's gonna take on that one. Haven't heard a word.
I'm also curious. I've been running this one-man campaign now for months, ever since Hillary Clinton lost the Democratic nomination for President of the United States, for her to become the next leader of the Senate, the Senate Majority Leader, to replace Harry Reid. And, you know, it doesn't win me many friends among, you know, big shot Democratic politicians, particularly those who are, particularly Harry Reid and his friends. But, you know, frankly, that's not my job, is to be, you know, suck up buddies with big name politicians. My job is to tell the truth as I see it. And I think that Hillary Clinton would do a spectacular job in that role. Are you hearing that there's any possibility that Harry Reid's position is at risk, or are we going to go forward with Harry Reid as the head of the Senate?
Well, the Senate is such a very traditional place. It would be surprising if they decided to oust somebody like Harry Reid. Once you've actually got the gig, it's very surprising if you get ousted from it. Mm. On the other hand, there could be a feeling that she did so well that she is owed something. I I would frankly be surprised to see it.
Yeah, okay. Any sense of what the political future is going to be for Hillary Clinton and for John McCain? Are they just going to go back to legislating?
I think they're going to go back to legislating. I do think her future is bright. I think I do think she has a strong future. I think she may well at some point end up as the head of the Senate. I think that's a strong possibility for him. I think he's going to go back and he's going to try and act as though he never said any of those nasty things.
John McCain. Yeah.
He's going to pretend it never happened.
Yeah, in the last couple of days of the campaign, I mean, some of the robocalls were just beyond despicable. And, you know, the biggest mistake he made in this whole thing was hiring Steve Schmidt, hiring a Karl Rove, go-to guy. And it not only lost him the campaign, which he probably would have lost anyway, but it lost him the campaign in a way that so badly has tarnished John McCain's reputation.
Yes. I don't think you can get it back.
It's really, truly tragic. Victoria Jones with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thanks for the update from Washington, D.C., Victoria.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. In the next hour, we will be taking your calls and giving you a summary of what's going on, who did what, how, where, you know, how the races are shaping up and have shaped up around the United States. But mostly, 866-303-2270, our phone number. Stick around.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it looks like Minnesota there's going to be a recount. We don't know yet what's happened with Al Franken versus Norm Coleman. Here in Oregon, it's increasingly looking like Gordon Smith is going down in defeat. Jeff Merkley will be the new senator from Oregon. We, on our local show this morning, we had Bradbury, who is the Secretary of State of the state, a fine man, on the show. And he said that there's still a couple hundred thousand votes in Multnomah County, which is basically downtown Portland, that had not yet been counted because they maxed out last night their ability to do it, and they're going to start today. And that's probably going to push Smith over the top. Bill Bradbury didn't say that, but I think that we can all extrapolate from that. Excuse me, it's going to push, it's been a long night, but it's going to push Jeff Merkley over the top, excuse me. In North Carolina, Kay Hagan beat Liddy Dole. Sununu in New Hampshire was beaten by Gene Shaheen. This is great. I mean, this is a reprise of the election from 6 years ago. A book about which has been written called How to Steal an Election, the example being John Sununu stealing the election 6 years ago. So, you know, as Chuck Schumer said, the days of obstruction are over. And I think that this is, you know, just a really good thing and a really good sign and a great, great starting point. And there are a few other races that I thought were interesting, just as kind of commentary on America. In California, Prop 2 passed. Prop 8 looks like it's not going to pass. Excuse me, let me flip that around. Prop 2, which protects animal rights, passed, and it looks like Prop 8, which strips existing rights from gays to marry, is probably going to pass as well. And so it's like in California, the people have decided that civil rights or rights for chickens, good idea. Rights for gays, bad idea. I mean, think about it for a minute. This is how bizarre this country is in some ways. When you let the right-wingers get this stuff out. On the other hand, in California, in Colorado, and in South Dakota, there were various attempts to chip away at a woman's right to choose an abortion, from parental notification in California to defining a human life as beginning at fertilization, not implantation, which would make the morning after pill illegal in Colorado, to South Dakota banning abortion in many cases, all of those going down to defeat, a good step, I think. In Montana, with 41% of the vote in, 70% saying yes to providing government health and funded health insurance to an additional 30,000 uninsured children. If Bush is going to veto S-CHIP and John McCain had worked against it, then the states themselves are saying, we're going to do it. We're going to take it on. Sadly, in Arkansas, banning gays and lesbian couples from adopting or being foster parents. I mean, this is just tragic. Good news in Massachusetts, decriminalization of small amounts of pot, and in Michigan, permitting medical use of marijuana as we learn more and more medical uses for this stuff. Stem cell research in Michigan seems to have passed. So there's a variety of interesting things out there and interesting races. The Democrats don't have their 60 seats in the United States Senate, but they have enough that with a few moderate Republicans like Olympia Snowe and George Voinovich and Susan Collins, the two Republicans from Maine, George Voinovich from Ohio, at least those three, that maybe the filibuster will not be the cudgel, will not be the weapon that it has been wielded by the Republicans up to this point. They have been so successful in obstructing legislation over the last couple of years, over the last 2 years in particular. So we'll see how all this shakes out. Our live chat room, TomHartmann.com, AirAmerica.com for our live video stream, our free live video stream, and the chat room is free as well. 866, and we have free archives and audio over at the website. 5 years of audio over there. First year of our show, we were not putting up archives, recording them. And 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Marilyn in Los Angeles. Hey, Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. It's a good morning, and I want to really send kudos out to the people in the election protection movement, because we wouldn't be celebrating today if it weren't for the likes of Mark Crispin Miller and Brad Friedman and Bev Harris and Stephen Spoonamore, who was a whistleblower, and local people here in Los Angeles like Judy Alter and Robin Gibson and Sherry Myers, who have been on it for years and years and never give up.
Yep. I absolutely agree, Marilyn, and echo your sentiments, and thank you very much for saying them so well. From Maryland to Maryland, this is Marilyn in Wilaka, Florida.
Hi, Tom. Hi. First of all, I want to agree with everybody. President Obama is not going to have it easy, and we're all going to help him. When the world came together yesterday, it was for happiness. Most cases, it's for a tragedy, a fallen leader. And on that note, I want to express the sentiment that we can, and I hope people join me in saying to your colleague, Bobby Kennedy Jr., that we are ready to complete the vision that his uncle, his dad, Dr. King had. It just took us this long to find the right person to do it.
Yeah. And let's keep in mind, Marilyn, that like I said, there's an awful lot of projection going on. In many ways, Barack Obama is a giant Rorschach test for all of us. And it's bringing out the best in all of us. And there's going to be a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. He don't have a plate full. He has an Amtrak full.
Yeah, very well said. Marilyn, thank you very much. Drew in Cape May, New Jersey. Hey, Drew.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. So I was wondering, you know, I didn't hear a lot on the news, but there was some shenanigans, and I'm sure there was a lot of disenfranchised voters and some, you know, jumping. Do you think the mandate was even larger than it appeared?
Oh, yeah. We know that in 2004, 3 million people showed up to the polls and were not allowed to vote, even though they, you know, should have been legal. You know, they were legal citizens and they should have been allowed to vote. This time it was probably 5-6 million. We don't have the numbers yet, and we will be deconstructing this and looking over it over the next few days. But my guess is that probably 5 to 6, maybe 7 million Americans were forced to vote on provisional ballots this time, and therefore their votes have not yet been counted and probably won't be counted unless it's a really, really tight race with a recount, and then, you know, it's going to take some time. So, I think the mandate was much larger, frankly, much, much larger. Andrea in Miami, Florida. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, Tom. While I'm ecstatic about the Obama victory, I would like to know your opinion on how in the world Michelle Bachmann won.
You know, Brian Barrett is the Democratic congressman from Vancouver, Washington, which is just on the other side of the river from where I live. And he's a good guy and a friend. I think of him as a friend, and we don't always agree. We disagree, for example, on the Iraq War, but he's a good guy and an honest guy. And he was in the studio this morning for the local show, and I was out in the hall talking with him, and I said, how is it that Bachmann won? You know, you would know. And he said the problem is, and in fact, I don't want to reveal too much of the private conversation, but without his permission, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind my saying this. He said the problem was that the money got to her opponent, to Tinkleman, or Tinkleberg, too late. You know, when you get that, you get $1 million in a week, and there's not enough time to produce the spots and do everything right and get it out there. So that was his analysis. I think that that's a pretty trenchant analysis. Michelle Bachmann is claiming that she was reelected because she opposed the bailout bill and, you know, for things like that. I mean, she's got her own story about why. But I think, frankly, that was probably the basis of it.
Between that and Ted Stevens, I mean, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah, it really was. And thank you, Andrea. And that's an example of why, you know, we have to get out ahead of these things. We can't just do them at the last minute. Jeff in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Tom. I really want to congratulate Obama and Michelle and everybody who worked together to make this happen. It's so great. You know, my wife and I were crying and everything. But, of course, the work starts today, Guy Fawkes Day. And yep. And who Obama chooses for his trade, labor, and economic secretaries is huge. I mean,
yes.
Folks need to understand that Keynesianism is real economics, and anything else is BS. It's phony.
And right. And the question, what I'm watching very carefully, is whether, you know, Lawrence Summers or Robert Rubin, the Keynesian gets in.
Robert Reich to be Secretary of Treasury. We have to get on it now. He's the only guy who's been on TV that the people know, that he has a name. We can support him. We have to do it. And also when it comes to labor and OSHA, you know, people who have to work for a living, we need someone like Ralph Nader at the head of that organization to tell Barack Obama stuff he doesn't want to hear.
Boy, that would be a wonderful thing. Jeff, thank you very much. Yeah, Ralph Nader for head of OSHA, or for head of the EPA, actually. I think OSHA is part of the EPA. 17 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Taking back the mainstream media, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Tom Hartman here with you, 21 minutes past the hour, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Ron in Burlington, Vermont. Hey, Ron, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on. You know, I'm reminded of Cokie Roberts giving a speech at my daughter St. Mike's graduation, which she said, you know, we come from such a diversity, you know, ethnic backgrounds and religions in the United States, and the only thing that really binds us together is our government. And I just feel so good that Barack Obama believes in government and the Constitution.
Yeah, this is the hour I did a week ago Tuesday about how America is based on an idea, whereas virtually every other country in the world is based on genetics.
Exactly. And what I wanted to say about privatization and all the giveaways, entitlements, you know, I feel that, you know, it's just like a corporation when they go into research, they lose, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. But then there's one person that comes up with a great idea that pays for it all.
Yep.
And that's the way I feel about Barack Obama. Here's a guy that, you know, his mom had to get food stamps. He went to public schools. He got college loans, all these entitlement programs. And look what happened. We got a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a great thing. And I think if privatization keeps on going the way it is,
I don't think Barack Obama would be possible in the future.
Yeah. No, and we need to start pushing back very, very aggressively. I mean, start. Hopefully, this administration, Ron, thank you for the call, will start pushing back very aggressively. I mean, I have been on this show for years. Many of us have been carrying the torch. Tomorrow, for example, I'll be debating Stephen Moore. He's got this new book, The End of Prosperity, How Higher Taxes Will Drown the Economy, Doom the Economy. Yeah, right. It'll be an interesting conversation, and we need to not just push back at the level of talk radio, but at the level of policy, and I think finally there's an opportunity for that to happen. Hillary in Beaverton, Oregon. Hey, Hillary.
Hi there, Tom. I am just calling because I have been witnessing through blogs and hearing on various radio programs some negativity coming from the Democrats and people who were supporting Barack Obama. And I just want to say that this campaign was about unity. It's very important that everybody educate, not hate. We really, really need to stick together because everything that Barack Obama has fought for and that we have fought for to make him the next president requires us to all work together.
Yes, and. You know, yes, and. We don't want to create the circular firing squad. Absolutely.
Right.
And I don't think that we should be, you know, purging Democrats because they're not ideologically right. And yes, there are already... again, the conversation that I had with Congressman Baird this morning, you know, there are already people out there saying, okay, who are the Democrats we've got to purge in the back? Come on, you know, give me a break. We, at the same point, though, at the same time, I think that we have this historic opportunity to move forward a truly progressive agenda in the United States and bring about the ideals of the founders of this country who were progressives, who were liberals, who called themselves liberals.
That's right.
And if we don't seize that opportunity and if we don't push forward and if we fail to acknowledge, Hillary, that there are hundreds of billions of dollars in profits that depend upon money being funneled to Congress, to members of Congress, the United States Senate and the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., basically buying legislation. If we don't acknowledge that over 95% of all legislation that reaches that has reached the floor in the last 15 years actually originated or was written by lobbyists, if we don't start taking on those things, and if this administration doesn't start taking on those things, then it's going to be more of the same. We're going to see a repeat of the Clinton administration with regard to so many of those things. And that, I think, would be a disaster for America.
We need to hold those people accountable. We need to hold true to our values, which is a government by the people, for the people, by the people, and not by big corporations and lobbyists. It's exactly what I'm saying. I was out there knocking on doors. I was making phone calls for Barack. I believe in unity. I believe in the ideals of a free nation, but a nation that helps each other. We are all a community, and all of this, the global communication that you've had today is fabulous because that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I just want everybody to educate and not hate. If everybody knew what caused the lack of jobs in this country, referencing your caller from Minnesota earlier, you know, we would understand and hopefully we would become inspired to realize that there is a different way of doing things, and we do need to call our representatives and let them know how we feel and just keep working. We should all breathe a huge collective sigh of relief that we have this opportunity now, but don't just sit on our butts.
That's right. Well said, Hillary. Thank you very much. And you know, the game of Monopoly was marketed and sold in the early years of the last century, in the 20s or 30s, as a way of educating people about how dangerous and deadly monopolies are, how destructive to capitalism and society they are, because at the end of the game of Monopoly, you have one king and a whole bunch of losers. And, you know, we don't play Monopoly much anymore. Maybe we need to come out with a video game of Monopoly, but the bottom line is we need to re-educate America about the realities of how the economy works.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
I'm gonna keep coming till I see the top. I'm gonna keep Obama took the high road, and it worked. 33 minutes past, 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Well, we talked a lot about voter disenfranchisement recently. Some voters were disenfranchised yesterday. They're rather upset about it. These are the voters near Pasco in Pasco County, Florida, at the Caliente Resort. They asked to be provided with a voting machine. The county said, no, we're not going to provide a voting machine just for your nudist colony. Yeah, 35. I'm sorry, I don't know why I think that's funny. I once gave a speech to a nudist colony. It was fascinating. I'll share thoughts some other time. Joe in Tempe, Arizona. You are calling saying you are a conservative, so you go to the front of the line. Joe, what's up?
That's a good idea. Hey, you guys are all excited. You got some victories last night. You got some wins. You didn't get your 60 seats, though, in the Senate, so guess what? We could filibuster all your liberal ideas. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be just like the first 2 years of Bill Clinton. It's going to be a giant train wreck, and you liberals are going to get blamed for everything. And then our Newt Gingrich, our next generation Newt Gingrich, is going to come in and have another Republican revolution, and God bless America once we're back in charge.
Joe, you really believe that that's how that's going to play out?
Well, I'm hopeful, but you know what? Every time you liberals get in charge, the first thing you do is you do all kinds of things for gay rights, and then you do things like raise taxes, and then the people start to get a little bit disgusted, and then all the corruption kicks in, like Dan Roskinkowski and all that back in 1992.
So, Joe, you think it's a good thing that we've borrowed $10 trillion since Ronald Reagan became president and spent that money as if we had taxed it, but we haven't? You think it's a good idea that this year we're going to spend almost $600 billion on interest on the national debt, enough money to build schools in virtually every community of over 20,000 people all across the United States, simply so that Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George Bush Jr. could make it look like we had a decent economy? You think that's a good thing?
Well, I'm going to grant you, Tom, that you know one of the reasons I listen to you guys is you do have some points. And one of the points I'm going to give you is that we Republicans lost our way, and we spent too much money, and we didn't do what we are designed to do, which is basically cut government, make government smaller, lower taxes, less rights for the gays.
So, Joe, if you were to do away with all of the government programs that don't have to do, basically do away with the Education Department, do away with the Environmental Protection Agency, do away with the National Park Service, all those things, you are still going to be running a budget deficit right now.
Well, yeah. You got to
so,
make
so you're
you
going to have to raise taxes. Eventually, the Reagan taxes were, you know, Reagan raised taxes by raising spending massively.
Well, you
and,
do it through,
and Bush raised taxes by raising spending massively. What they did is they shifted those taxes to us now. You still don't want to pay those, right?
Oh no, I definitely don't. I would
okay,
think that
so
should
you,
be.
Okay, you're a freeloader, Joe. You think that being a freeloader is
no,
the way to go?
I work hard and provide jobs for people that work with me on a daily basis. You got to understand something.
Do you live on a credit card, Joe?
I have a credit card.
Do you live on it?
No.
Then why do you think that it's a good idea that the United States does?
Well, I agree with you, Tom. When I agree with you, why do you have to come back and
because I'm saying that you're what you're telling me is that you don't think we should live on a credit card, but you don't want to start paying down the credit card.
When Bill Clinton was in the office, the deficits were just as high. The only thing
when
that
Bill
made
Clinton left office, there was a surplus, Joe. You don't remember that?
Yeah, because of the internet bubble. I remember myself.
It had nothing to do with the internet bubble. It had to do with raising the income tax and the top marginal rate to 36%.
No, see, you liberals think you're smarter than everyone else, but the fact of the matter is, you're not too bright, Tom, are you?
Joe,
you might be bright when it comes to things like gay rights, but you're not bright on much anything else now, are you?
I guess, Joe, I'm not. I just, you know, it's you look at the history of the United States, and it seems like every time that we raise taxes, two things happen. One, over the next 5 years, you see an increase in economic activity because the government is actually doing things like building infrastructure, building schools, building roads, building bridges that make it possible for businessmen like you and me to actually have a business, number one. And number two, every time government goes into these borrowing binges like Reagan, Bush and Bush did, that it actually hurts our economy, the stock market goes in even the stock market isn't a good indicator of the economy, that the average working person loses out.
Well, that's tough because they don't have any talent and they don't have any skill, and all they want to do is collect welfare.
So to hell with the average working person in America, Joe. That's the conservative worldview.
You know what, Capitalism comes first, and if you can't make it, get out of the way, or we're going to run you over. And that's what George Bush represented so beautifully.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I think you said it very well.
Thank you
very much for the call. I think you said it very well. And all the more the tragedy. Robert in Phoenix. Let's pick up another Arizona caller here. Perhaps a little bit of sanity. Robert?
Yes, some sanity here. Don't you love the argument when they say, you liberals think you're smarter than conservatives? I just don't think that they realize that when they say that, they're making conservatives look stupid.
Well, perhaps. It's not in my mind. There's some very smart conservatives out there. I think that they're just misguided. I always thought William F. Buckley was a brilliant guy, for example. But I disagree with him on pretty much everything. I interviewed him once for one of my books. I was very impressed.
A couple of things, Tom. I just wanted to congratulate all your listeners for all the hard work that they did, including yourself, all the blood, sweat, and physical tears that went into electing this man.
Yeah.
I have never been more proud to be an American, and Obama was right. This is our victory.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And question for you about his tax plan. Mm-hmm. Since you pointed out that 40% of people are living so far into poverty that they're not paying income tax, what is their tax benefit, if any? Because I've been hearing people say that he's going to write them a check, basically, even though they don't pay income tax.
Yeah, I understand, and I think we all have to keep in mind, Robert, that during a campaign, a lot of things get said that don't necessarily get acted on. The classic example of that is Bill Clinton's campaign in 92. A lot of those promises never even got revisited.
Right.
But, basically my understanding is that Barack Obama has been talking about giving people who are very, very low-income wage earners who are still paying the payroll tax,
some sort
of a tax credit against the payroll tax, and also causing people like Bill Gates to actually pay the same amount on the payroll tax as people like you and me who pay the payroll tax, on 100% of our income. And that seems to me like a not unreasonable thing. Keeping that donut hole there that goes up to above $250,000, you're going to start paying a payroll tax. That will solve the problems of Social Security in one day. That will solve Social Security. And in fact, it'll create enough of a surplus that people at the very, very bottom might be able to get a tax cut in payroll taxes. But I can't speak for the Obama administration, and I would never try to, Robert. That's just my understanding of how it's going to work. We'll see. Barry in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Barry, what's up?
Hey, Tom. The guy that was on just before really got my blood boiling. He started talking about the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the million or so people that hit the streets for Senator Obama, and we're still out here. I know who these volunteers are that I worked with. I know Nick and his wife, Jean. We still exist. And if my senator, Christopher Kit Bond, decides he's going to be an obstructionist, we'll get him gone. I mean, we can hit the streets again. We can get out the vote. The Obama people may be gone. We're still here.
Yeah, and that's one of the marvelous things about having a community organizer run a national campaign is all of a sudden the communities are organized.
And, I'm happy to have Kit Bond as my senator as long as he participates.
Yes, as long as he understands that this is a representative form of government, his job is to represent his constituents.
Thank you.
Well said. Barry, thank you very much for the call. Connie in Anaheim. Hey, Connie.
So I'm in pain about the first off, I'm straight, but I'm really bothered about the Proposition 8. And somebody told me that a lot of out-of-state money came in because we can't figure out how a bunch of Californians passed, I don't think passed yet, but how this happened in a place like California.
It was massive amounts of money, Connie, from Mormons in Utah.
So you know that the Mormons did feed in this?
This is, you can Google this. It's been well reported by reputable news services. Some very large percentage, more than 50% of the funding for Prop 8 came from Mormons and a minor large percentage came from Catholics, particularly the what is the Men's Catholic League, Knights of Columbus?
Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, on the advertising, it mentioned Knights of Columbus, but I never once heard the Mormon stake. Is that a election?
No, it didn't come through institutional Mormons. It came through individual Mormons. There's a lot of very wealthy Mormons in the United States, and they were writing checks. They were making it happen. They were using charities and whatnot. I believe it was the L.A. Times did a good article on this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was in California the day I read it. I remember reading it over breakfast. You should be able to, so I'm pretty sure it was the L.A. Times. I think
I'll
it was when I was
it.
In Palm Springs. Yeah, you can track it down. But that's my understanding of where it all came from. Connie, thanks a lot for the, and you know, it shouldn't surprise us. Kevin in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to say we heard from Senator Kerry during his primary campaign that he would not accept a position in Obama's administration because he liked exactly where he was and he was running for the job that he wanted. So hopefully, if it's offered, he'll turn it down because that's the promise he made to us in Massachusetts.
Oh, that's interesting. Was John Kerry up for re-election this time?
Yes. Yep. Yes, he was. He had a primary opponent and also a Republican opponent this year.
Oh, interesting. I'm living on the other coast, I guess. You know, when I used to live in Vermont, I keep track of what's going on in Massachusetts politics. Proximity does have some consequence. That's interesting. I didn't realize that Kerry had. Let's watch this very closely. Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. That's very interesting. On the other hand, you know, politicians,
no, I would never want to be vice president. I love being the governor here of, you know, fill in the blank, right? And you know that they're all just salivating at it, so I'm not quite sure I would take that all that seriously. 45 minutes past the hour.
Watch live video of the Tom Hartman Program at HartmanRadio.com.
Conservative weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you. Uh-oh. Look out. Yeah, they busted the chicken. Actually, the rooster. That's the word. In Benton, Illinois, Police Chief Mike O'Neill took into custody a rooster. It had been behaving a little aggressively toward the people. He took it into custody after what he described as a brief scuffle. The good news for the good citizens of Benton, Illinois, it's not going to cost a lot to care for the rooster. He's able to make it on chicken feed. 866-303-2270, your phone number, Jason in Washington, D.C. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, you know, I'm so sorry. I had one question, but I thought of something else more importantly. After seeing what I saw in Chicago and New York and all that good stuff, could you give me a history in terms of the inauguration? Most of the time, the inauguration is held in the back of the Capitol building facing the Supreme Court. My question to you is, could they even think about maybe doing it in front so they can take advantage of the entire mall? Because Lord knows how many people are going to descend upon D.C. for that inauguration ceremony. Has that ever been done before? And can that
you know,
be done?
I don't know, Jason. You've gone beyond my database. in my brain, I just don't know. But it's a good idea. I think it's an excellent point that Barack Obama needs to do this in as high profile a way as possible. And he certainly, you know, I mean, I was in Denver for the thing at Mile High Stadium. He certainly knows how to pull together a gig with you know close to 100,000 people, and has had more than 100,000 people at numerous ones. Over 200,000 in Germany, over 100,000 in St. Louis, and in nearly 100,000 here in Portland. So I would guess that these guys are on it. We'll see. John in Vancouver. Hey, John.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. You had a smart young guy, Patrick, on earlier, who has probably done fairly well, but lacks the perspective of age.
Are you talking about the conservative?
Yes.
Okay.
He never lived when you did not need to use the internet to find a job because the classified section was a half inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I spent my life making semiconductors. You're a little hard on Tom Friedman, but goods and services will be provided by the low cost provider.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. I understand
and we do
that,
have
and,
tariffs.
I, and I agree with that. Pardon?
We do have tariffs remaining, and we use them stupidly.
Well,
we have a tariff on sugar ethanol.
I don't disagree with you, John, but the average tariff in the United States right now, if you average all of our tariffs, is 2.23%. And if you go back 30 years ago and from that point take it all the way back to 1791, the average tariff was a little over 20%.
And there's a place for tariffs and there's a place for an industrial strategy. I mean, that sounds maybe a little Russian, but it's not meant that way at all.
No, it's Alexander Hamilton was the guy who proposed this.
Yes, you have to target what you want to achieve. You have to set goals and establish metrics.
So what's your
to
point,
achieve
John?
Them. Well, my point is that conservatives like Patrick don't have the experience of what this country was and what it is not now.
Yeah, okay. I get it. And John, I think that that's one of the real tragedies, that there's a whole generation of people growing up whose entire experience of America is Reagan and post Reagan. And as I've said many times, you know, Bill Clinton bought into Reaganomics as well to a large extent, into the whole, you know, declaring large government debt and everything else. And the fact of the matter is it's not a matter of large or small government. It's about who controls the rules of the game. Are the rules of the game controlled by transnational corporations? Or are they controlled by people answerable to you and me, which is government? And that's really what it comes down to. When you hear conservatives railing on radio and television, even people like Tom Brokaw saying, oh, we're still a center-right nation, when you hear them railing about regulation or you hear them railing about big government, what they're saying, here's the subtext, what they don't say is that by railing against government, what they're not saying is, therefore, transnational corporations should be in charge of how business is conducted and what the decisions are. Because the bottom line is somebody's going to be in charge. Somebody is going to be making the decisions. Somebody is going to be defining the rules of the game. And if it's not representatives of you and me, of we the people, if it's not so-called big government, it's going to be big corporations. Those are your choices. It's just like the cons who say, oh, you don't want the government telling you who your doctor can be. Well, what, you'd rather have a corporation tell you? Because those are your choices. Unless you're a millionaire or a billionaire, those are your choices. John in Mill Valley, California. Hey, John.
Good morning. I wanted to thank you for, over the last few months, saying that we have to turn out in overwhelming numbers to ensure a victory. And that because I've been watching the returns this morning and of course, last night, and it really seems I'm kind of smelling a rat because it seems like Obama's not getting the actual numbers that he should be, that it's a lot closer in votes, not in electoral votes, but in actual population votes.
Right, it's because the provisional ballots are not being counted. I've got reports from some, as I said, we'll dig into this later in the week when we actually have solid numbers, but in some counties in California and Florida and other places, we're hearing stories of as many as 1 in 10 people thinking that they're registered to vote, showing up and not being on the rolls and having to take a provisional ballot. And those provisional ballots are not counted unless you have a contested election, by and large.
Well, this election had landslide, you know, written all over it, and it's a lot closer than that in the numbers are showing on CNN right now.
Yeah, and I would say that what you're looking at is, you know, the fact that, for example, in Colorado this year there were fewer registered voters than there were in 2004. Two successive Republican secretaries of states stripping people off the voting rolls. And so you've got all these people who are going to vote on a provisional ballot, and it doesn't show up in the official tallies, the early tallies. Coming up tomorrow, Steve Moore, economist Steve Moore, conservative, is going to be here. His new book, The End of Prosperity, How Higher Taxes Will Doom the Economy If We Let It Happen. It should be an interesting conversation. And Christy Harvey from the Center of American Progress with the news that has slid under the radar screen. That and the best of the rest of the news and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman Program. Don't forget, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.